It's the Healers from the Trap podcast, where a trapped soul has got to go. So let's start breaking barriers and have that conversation. So welcome to the Healers from the Trap podcast. I am Dumaybe, and on the line we have Chase.
Hey.
So we are just going to chat today more or less about who we are individually, and the whole Healers of Color movement that we're doing. And also just like, what is a healer slash who is a healer? All right, Chase, you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
Okay. Sounds good. So I am Dumaybe. I am one half of the Light Sisters, and we are international spiritual healers. We really focus a lot on bringing out the power in you as an individual, kings and queens, to really come into your true potential. We use different modalities from numerology to ancestral healing, which I actually focus on ancestral and past life healing, to work through some of the blockages, both mentally, emotionally, and also even physically and spiritually, to bring you to harvest your truest potential and really tap into your power and your magic. And we have Chase, who focuses a lot on so many great things, but I'll let you go ahead and take it over.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I am a spiritual consultant based in New York City and sometimes in San Francisco. I work primarily with astrology, and I use that as a medium to kind of counsel people, life counseling, helping someone understand their sense of essence and how to move forward in life based on who they truly are. I also work with a lot of herbs. I do body work, and I also do spiritual house cleaning as well. A bunch of different modalities, but mostly in the realm of nourishing the mind, body, spirit.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love it. And Chase is so great. He's definitely my go-to astrologer. So if you ever have questions about what's going on with that, definitely check out Chase. So what is a healer? Like, what would you think of as a healer, Chase?
Well, I think that when someone thinks of a healer, they might think of like an energy worker, or they might think of maybe like some type of spiritual counselor, mm-hmm. right? Someone that will help you sort out your life, and maybe they have like an intuitive sensibility. But I also think that being a healer is just someone that is dedicated to alleviating the suffering of either themselves or other people. Mm-hmm. And so there's a true element of service. And I think that that's just a nice way to think about what healing is that it's the ability to make your life better.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I don't think it's a specific title or a certain amount of education that you need to be a healer. A healer is, like you said, kind of more or less like morally your intention with it, or what you identify yourself or how you go about maneuvering the world. Because I know a lot of times people are, you know, they're teachers, but they don't really consider themselves healers because they haven't done whatever healing certification and stuff. And to me, that's not what defines you. Whatever certification you have in Reiki or whatever that is doesn't make you a healer. It is how you go about, if you consistently work on helping other people, but most importantly, working on becoming a better person individually. Because I think there's sometimes people consider themselves healers or want to be healers, but they haven't really worked on healing themselves. So it's that balance of allowing yourself to be vulnerable, allowing yourself to heal, allowing others to help you, and also giving to others as well.
Right.
I think I always say the whole, you can only meet people as deeply as you've met yourself. So right. When it comes to being a healer, I think it's important to remember that there are times when it's okay to step back from healing or step back from what you might traditionally do and step into something else, or just work on yourself to come back to help others. Because I think I'm speaking from a personal perspective too, in the sense of I very much identify myself as a healer. But there are times, like for instance now, that I really do a lot of ancestral healing work, but I've stepped back from doing ancestral healing on others because I've needed to go back into myself and work on some deep-rooted things that have resurfaced back up. So in order for me to be the best teacher and also the best student in this ancestral healing journey, I must go back and dig into self and to really allow myself to be vulnerable with other spiritual teachers or other healers around to work through some things before I go back to actively offer up ancestral healing.
Right. Yeah, you touched on a lot of things there. And yeah, one thing that I want to kind of circle back around to is that, you know, like you only can connect with someone, you can only be in a healing space with someone as deep as your consciousness is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very suggestive of the process in becoming a healer. It involves a lot of self-inquiry work and an entire journey like within the self.
Yeah. That's so real.
Yeah, I didn't even identify as a healer until I started really working with astrology. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly all the things that I had been studying became this kind of complement to the identification of what astrology can offer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
It sounds like astrology for you was the big tool for your own healing journey as an individual.
Right. Yeah. Astrology was definitely a medium that helped me really recognize myself as a whole person, mm-hmm. truly to witness my whole sense of self. And from that, I began to unfold and I began to really ease into myself. And then that really made it possible for me to accept other people and really see other people. And truly, because astrology shows you your sense of self when you look at your chart. And then when you realize that your humanness and all of your strengths and all of your weaknesses at times, then you can easily look at someone with that same respect. But definitely when I started doing astrology, it made it so that all the tools that I had, I could apply them with using astrology first and foremost as a diagnostic tool.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep. So it really just sounds like you dug deep into yourself and did a certain level of healing or certain level of recognition of self before you were able to identify yourself as a healer or before you even considered yourself a healer.
Absolutely. And actually, not to get technical, but from an astrological perspective, you know, sometimes you can see it in someone's birth chart. Like they really do have a healing signature, or they mm-hmm. do have this potential to connect spiritually, or even in a sense of just being extremely empathetic or empathic.
Yeah.
But that doesn't come naturally, you know, when I counsel people that are healers or they're having spiritual awakenings and realizing that they're healers, it's kind of like, I tell them that you don't wake up one day and you're a healer.
Exactly.
It's that you actually do a lot of work on yourself first. And then after doing so much work and identifying all the language in yourself and kind of removing programs and things that you knew about yourself that actually weren't true to your essence, then when you work with someone, you can identify those things that they're working with that you have already processed. And you're like, I know how to speak to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess when I think of healing, it's kind of like a video game, right? Like you reach different levels within your own self-work, and it's at that point that you're like, oh yeah, I know this person's pain, or I know what they're going through, so I can actually now offer insight or offer tools because I've done those things myself.
You touch on so many things and something so beautiful here when you talk about the whole working on yourself first and letting that work identify your true purpose or your true passion, whatever you're supposed to do. I think so many times people come in and they're just saying, oh, I want to be this. For instance, I want to be a healer. And then they take a class or two and then automatically they're just like, oh, I'm a healer. But it's completely the opposite with that. It's usually the journey of self, like you're digging into something, and then that awareness or that level comes up to you that, wow, I am a healer. And in this day mm-hmm. and age, I think a lot of times we're looking for those quick fixes, or we're just looking for a certification or something to help us identify into something else. There's a box that a lot of us have created of what a healer is and what you need to do to become a healer. And we're trying to check up those boxes. And with those boxes, we don't realize that all of us individually are so different. All of us ancestrally are so different. And what person X has created as a box to the healer, you as person Z, that doesn't vibrate with you. That does not fit with you. So you can do all of that, but that's not what makes you a healer. What makes you a healer, like you talked about, is really digging into self and working to bring that aspect of yourself out. Because I think most of us have that ability to be a healer, or most of us are healers or have the ability to access that. But very few of us take that journey of self to be able to become aware of it.
Right. No, yeah, that's so true. And it kind of goes back to what you're saying. It's like the levels of consciousness which allow you to speak to someone. Mm-hmm. And so there are going to be people that take a certification and they're like, I'm a healer, but actually they haven't done enough work on themselves. They're still going to work with people, but only at the level of their consciousness, which maybe they've only done a superficial amount of healing work on themselves. So the level of what they can do with other people will be somewhat superficial. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there's value in that, because everyone has to start somewhere.
Exactly. But,
and that's the reason why people that have a lot of trauma, people that have had a lot of really, really tough things happen in their life, and just like abuse and the whole spectrum of just crap that's happened to them, they are met with these situations that they have to do the inner work. And that's why people that are healers, that are just like natural healers or people that have really strong healing capabilities, usually have some form of kind of like a mirrored trauma. So like the scar runs deep and the potential for healing also runs deep.
Yeah, that is so, so very true. And I think with that, because a lot of times, a lot of us carry trauma and we just carry it thinking that we're just supposed to have it, or we're supposed to block it out or forget about it, deal with it and move on type of thing. But I think the difference is when you see it and you're like, you know what, I can work through this. There is a way to heal from it, or there's a way to grieve properly to allow myself to now help others, or now help myself more than anything else.
Right. No, that's what healing is, right?
Exactly.
Touching on the thing that has caused pain and to give it language, to look at it straight on and release it in whatever way that is. And that's actually what ancestral healing is.
It is.
That's exactly what ancestral healing is.
It legit is.
but when it comes to ancestral healing, it's on a deeper level. Yeah. It's the root cause of a trauma. Because we can have traumas that happen in our life. Like we can have an abusive relationship with our parents, or we can have had like sexual abuse within this lifetime. And those things we can deal with head on, and they're so important to our own personal development. But the thing about ancestral healing is that we also have to work on those scars from pain and trauma that came before us.
Exactly. And then another way to look at it too is that a lot of times the pain and the trauma we experience in this life is not the first time in our lineage it's been experienced. Mm-hmm. It is resurfacing back up with us is one thing. So one way I like to look at things is when something, especially when something triggers me that I'm so unaware of, why would this even make me upset right now? Or why am I reacting this type of way? I dig back into the whole, okay, hold on. I might not be aware right now on my own individual journey what it is, but there's definitely something else in me that is allowing me to react the way I'm reacting. And sometimes I even only have to go back and think, I'm like, my mother, this frustrates her so much. But and I never thought it frustrated me, or I was never presented in a situation that might allow me to react the same way my mother did. And with that, I'm just like, wow, okay. So I need to dig back and do a little more healing. Now this happened, so I identified this emotion in myself. Let me take a step back and really assess this, and let me look back and dig in a little deeper into myself.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the way that you can start putting the pieces together and start to look at the patterns in your life, the themes that are recurring, and also especially if your family members experience those same themes. It was really difficult for me to start doing my own ancestral work, which I've only started like about 2 years ago. And that's not true. I've been doing it for a long time, but I haven't made strides in it until recently. And actually the thing that that accelerated that process greatly was working with other intuitives. Mm-hmm. And especially you do maybe like, wow, once you gave me my reading around my ancestral weight, a lot of the things in my life that I found to be just like blockages or things that I wasn't able to see, I was seeing them clear as day. And I was able to start moving forward in my life in a way where I felt like there were just these, I felt like there was all these fences around me moving forward in life. Wow. And ancestral work is the core of healing work, I think.
I completely agree with you. I know for me, you talked earlier about how you didn't identify as a healer until after really diving into astrology. For me, I didn't identify until really diving into ancestral healing, because it didn't matter how many psychic development courses I took or how many Reiki courses I took. I just didn't feel like a healer until I dug into my ancestral way. And there's so many stories I talk about with this, but for me, physically, I was deteriorating due to the ancestral weight I was carrying. And for those who are unfamiliar with ancestral weight, the term we call ancestral weight is basically just like the baggage you carry from your ancestral line. So it could be paternal, maternal, or both. And on the physical body, usually your ancestral weight will be carried on your upper/middle back. Now, for women will oftentimes carry some of the ancestral weight on the lower back, and that will be a lot of the ancestral weight you carry due to around children or around family. Now, there are other physical ailments that happen in the body due to ancestral weights or different ancestral things you carry, but overall in your body, that happens. So I know there was a point in my life I was experiencing such bad back pain. And with this back pain always came some type of emotional trigger. And I realized that the emotional trigger was always linked to some unresolved issue that I associated with my parents or my aunts and uncles or my grandparents, something of that sort. And whenever this emotional trigger happened for me, my back pain would increase more and more and more. At one point in my life, I like associated just with my period. But then as I started to mature up, I realized I was like, no, this isn't my period. This is something else. And I had heard before from different spiritual teachers, like, hey, you know, there's something called like ancestral work. Maybe it's something you should dive into as you clear through that. That will help you out. And, you know, I was just kind of like, I mean, yeah, whatever. Like DNA, cool. But I mean, at the point when I was just tapping into so many of my spiritual powers, me as a psychic medium, I would hear my ancestors literally arguing. And I was like, what is going on? When I couldn't sleep because my ancestors were arguing, I said, okay, you know what? I'm about to take some of my teachers seriously or some of these other intuitives and healers I've seen in the past, because whatever this ancestral stuff is, I need to figure it out. And that's when I dove in and really took my ancestral journey seriously. I learned, because I am a medium, so I really used my mediumship skills to help me communicate with my ancestors. I really worked on, like, you know, working with different teachers and working with different mentors on ancestral healing specifically, and just like linking up with other practitioners in that. So in this, I formed my own journey, and then I started writing and taking notes of things that I felt could also help other people along the way. And I dove in, really dug in. By the time I was about a year, year and a half in, I became comfortable in a lot of the foundation of how to start an ancestral healing journey. And that's when I started kind of tapping into teaching some classes on basic ancestral healing. And in that, I dove deeper and deeper. New York, huh?
New York City.
I dove deeper and deeper into that. And I think after about a year and a half or 2 years into my ancestral healing journey, I have not experienced back pain since.
Like, wow.
I used to have bad back pain every day, especially certain times of the month that were not even linked to my period. It was just there. Certain emotions I would have that would completely bring up this back pain. I have not experienced back pain in more than a year now.
Mm. Wow, that's deep.
Oh yeah, it really is. And then it transformed our relationship a lot with my parents too, because there are certain emotions, certain grudges I held towards my mom, my dad. And as I dove deeper in this ancestral healing journey, I was able to forgive them. And it's not forgiving an action, it's forgiving the person because they're human. And as humans, we all make mistakes. So it's, and that helps me move forward in my journey. And with that, instead, I saw it in my, you know, relationship life, where I realized a lot of intimate relationships I was having, it was due to me trying not to have one, like a relationship I would have with my father, or not trying not to be with somebody like my father, things like that. But by not doing that, you're doing it. And you shouldn't go into something with an anger or resentment towards something else. You go in it with the love of what it is. And by working with that, I saw the transformation in my own relationship life, even from friendship to intimate relationships, that now I was attracting a whole different vibration of persons, because I wasn't coming out of resentment or fear. I was coming out of a place of love and appreciation.
So your ancestral work that you did helped to clear resentment that you weren't even really super conscious of, that was particularly yours. Is that what you're saying?
100%.
Damn, that's crazy. Wow, that's so cool.
Yes, and this whole like redefining love, because I'm in this whole phase where I'm just redefining what love is to myself, what self-love is, and what love in general is. And then I've really been working on unconditional love, because we love so much in condition. I wanted to strip that away. It shouldn't be loving someone because they're right next to you, or loving someone because they look like this, or because you expect them to love you in this way forever. It's just loving them because you love. I really wanted to take all those conditions out. And I realized most of those conditions were put in because that's what ancestrally I was taught. And then there's also the society. And I think ancestry is one thing in blood, but realize you have your land ancestors too. So the lands that you walk on, those ancestors are yours as well. So when you move to a new location, or where you, I'm Nigerian born, so coming into a new land, there is a different weight that's carried around because of the land ancestors too. So it's that balance between working on, oh my gosh, I can get so deep on ancestral healing. Clearly this is my specialty. This is what I do, but it's just like identifying 1, 2, and 3, and then appreciating, especially your land ancestors. You really have to appreciate them. You have to recognize them, because this is how I talk to myself, honey. This is not your land that you're walking on. It's a blessing you're walking here. So you must kiss and respect the ancestors for allowing you to be here. And in one way or another, they are protecting your space and protecting you at all times. And for you to take me on as a foreigner onto your native land, and it's good. You're protecting me. I love that. So I pay my respects. And in the end, I respect my ancestors to be able to communicate to them, to respect the ancestors of the land.
Wow, that is so deep. I love that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
that just, it's like, of course we recognize the land and we recognize what came before us, but when you have this kind of visceral connection to homage to the land ancestors, as well as having that conversation between your ancestors and the ancestors of the land, that's a really beautiful dynamic and image that's coming up in my mind.
It really is. And Chase, there's so many great things about you. And I know I always talk about that beautiful Filipino fire that you have. Like, the fire of the Filipino energy is so beautiful to me. But my relationship to that energy completely transformed when I went to the Philippines, and I really honored the ground, and I dug in a lot more into the ancestry of, you know, the Philippines in general, and also into some of my past life work in the Philippines. So with that, now I notice that I have a whole different appreciation and awareness for that energy. And like, I just can recognize it almost from a mile away type of thing.
Oh.
But I want to kind of talk a little bit about your own fire, your own energy, and how you kind of relate astrology to you're tapping into your own natural born abilities.
Huh. Well, I guess what's really interesting when you say fire, if we're thinking about it from like a astrology perspective, I actually have barely any fire in my chart. And so people that have a lot of fire, they have a lot of energy. They're going to be really, really active. They could regenerate themselves very quickly. They're going to be more social. Mm-hmm. I'm actually just like kind of sensitive, and it takes me a lot to muster up enough to be out in the world, really. Mm-hmm. I can be a little hermity, but when I think about my chart, there's a strong earth element, and there's a strong relationship to working with nature. Mm. And if I think about like the direction of my chart, there's a feeling of stepping into fire. Mm. There's a feeling of really owning that quality, owning my energy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's something that you're picking up, is that type of projection that I have mm-hmm. from like a soul direction.
Yeah.
But is that what it is?
Well, definitely. I didn't know this about your astrology, to be honest, but mm-hmm. in your energy and just in your natural ancestral gifts, there's so much fire energy in that. And it's something you're born to be able to tap into, but it's like your choice whether you want to tap into it or not. Now, your fire energy doesn't necessarily come in like your ability to use fire as the healing modality or anything of that sort. It comes more into whenever you tap into your actual purpose, your actual purpose, and it's going to spread like fire, honestly. It's going to be one of those things, like you don't have to do anything. You're probably already seeing it because you're tapping into your ability to connect other healers and to kind of do this whole healing market style type of thing. It's right. always going to blow for you. Like it's going to be a true fire. And I have never seen a fire on earth like the fire of the Filipino energy. That is just so real for me.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah. I'm glad to be Filipino.
Y'all are amazing. You. Like, so amazing. It's so amazing. I really want to go back to the Philippines and just spend more time and dig in. I'm so grateful to have people like you and Raynell and other really close people of Filipino ancestry around me, because I'm learning. I'm just like, I don't know if you could tell sometimes, I just really greatly appreciate y'all. Just look, I'm like, oh my gosh. But the fire power there is absolutely amazing. And you see it in a lot of Polynesia. So Hawaii, Indonesia, like you're going to see it there because this is the whole fire energy. But there, it's almost right. like the source of the fire, just in my experience, is almost like it's in the Philippines. Like it lies on those grounds.
That is crazy. That's so cool. And well, obviously it's like the Pacific Rim, right? There's just, that's the formation is through volcanic activity. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That is so cool. I didn't realize the extent of like how you felt that energy.
It's really almost scary sometimes for me, because I can feel it when I'm around a lot of Filipinos. I feel fire. And it's not like something's burning me badly, but it's just like the heat. When you're around a lot of fire and you can feel that heat, or like when you're camping outside, you have a fire going, you can feel that heat coming. That's kind of what I feel.
Wow.
And anytime I touch the hands of someone who's Filipino, it's just fire, flashes of fire. But I see a lot of ancestry work. So a lot of times it'll go back to 500-600 years ago and what your ancestors were doing then, and a lot of the fire magic and how they really perfected a lot of the fire healing in general. But something, you know, the Filipino history, there's something that really happened, especially when like the Spanish came in. There was something really sharp that happened that made it in such a way that a lot of modern day in the Philippines, a lot of modern ways and how it is now, people not as in tune with that aspect of themselves, or reject that aspect of themselves more today than ever. So it's just interesting. And I think part of my calling is really to allow people to tap back into their natural home ground healing gifts, or at least heal through the fears and the resentment, at least work on that process. Because that changes a lot of it. Because what happens is when you have that fear or resentment of yourself or your ancestry or what you originally did, it allows other people to be able to take power away from us. And I think that's what a lot of people of color we face today, is that at some point in our lineages that we really were, the fear was brought upon us, that we were not looking at ourselves in love, or we were not looking at ourselves as powerful or beautiful. We were looking at ourselves as less than the others. So today a lot of us hold that weight that makes us always feel second class, feel like we cannot tap into who we really are, feel like we cannot be successful in our own natural abilities or even just in anything in life in general.
Right. And that's not related to just the structures that are in place in our current society, which they are. Mm-hmm. But then it goes back generations.
Exactly.
And so it's like the quality of the way that I feel about my self-worth as a person of color in the United States, it could just be, yeah, my personal experience, mm-hmm. but some of the blockages in my ability to see beyond that are definitely more than likely ancestral. And that can go back for how long, how long, you know, and it's interesting that you're talking about Filipinos, because just the whole dynamic of the Philippines fighting for its own land for like 200 years.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. And like, that is some deep ancestral weight, constantly feeling like your world or your land is being stolen. And, you know, like, I don't really think that it's, I don't want to speak, but it's just kind of like, it's been hard to feel like the Philippines is even its own country in a lot of ways, even now, even though it gained independence, you know, what, like, 70 years ago?
Yeah, a while ago. That's, yeah. I mean, what you're speaking on is a very, very big, I think that's a big reason why a lot of this movement is what it is, the Healers of Color movement, because you coming from your Filipino ancestry, some of us coming from any Mexican, West African ancestry, we've all realized how out of place or how much work needs to be done in ourselves individually, in our communities, and just like completely across the board as people of color, and how it makes it so much easier or so much more productive in a sense, our healing journeys, when we have the support of one another. Because even though you, Chase, and I, we come from different ancestries, we hold so much similarities in our works. We hold so many similarities in our suffrage, our traumas, our pain, our healing journeys, that being able to support one another in this journey has helped us become who we are today and helps us continue to grow and heal as people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I know I'm really excited. We all talk about this. The HOC team really talk about how excited we are to come together. And it's just being able to support each other as a community, because this is not something we do alone. Regardless where you're from, it's not something you do by yourself. It's not something you have to. And all this knowledge that you have, Chase, all the knowledge that I have, all the knowledge that all of us have, none of us want to be selfish in this knowledge. We just want to help each other grow. Because one thing a lot of us as people of color have lost is our ability to come together as a community, come together as people, come together to heal and to rise up in vibrations and take our own personal power back, not in hate or in resentment to others, in love and appreciation for ourselves and for the greater good of people.
Right. Yeah. I love that you touched on that. And I think I really focus on that in my work, is the ability to truly know yourself first and to work with your own isms and all of your neuroses first, and then go out into the world and do your important work.
Yeah, that is so real. Oh, I do have a question, because the astrology of kind of what is going on in the universe now, could you touch a little bit on that in relation to healing in general?
Well, as of 5 days ago, so what is today? Today is the 18th of July. So somewhere around like the 12th or 13th, there was a solar eclipse. It was a partial one. And there's three eclipses this summer. And so the next month pretty much is a time of transition. Mm. And in addition to that, Mars is retrograde, which means that our energy levels are kind of slowed down, or our ability to kind of have the impetus to move things forward, kind of there's an energy of maybe delay or things kind of slowing down a little bit. Mars is retrograde in the sign of Aquarius, which is related to the collective. And I don't know, it's kind of interesting that there's a lot of crazy things happening politically right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think on a personal level, there is just a lot of transition energy, but it's also, there's a slowing down.
Mm.
So it's kind of like, you're trying to move forward, but then you're having a little bit of things like slapping you in the face a little bit.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think it's gonna, this is a feeling that will persist through the end of August.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. I'm ready. I'm excited because I feel like this can be a time of great inner change that maybe it's not the time people necessarily act on it right now, but because of the inner work or the inner reflection that's being done or forced to be done, it will become a new wave come September, October, November, especially, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Things are going to be moving quite slowly for the next few months because we have Mars that goes retrograde and then shortly after Venus goes retrograde. And those are planets that really determine our wants and needs. And so a lot of those things are in flux right now. And yeah, I'm just bracing myself.
Oh, take a deep breath. Because you know what's happening? People from the past are surfacing back up left and right.
Oh, like, yeah.
All your ex-friends, ex-lovers, ex-neighbors, I don't even know, are coming out. The woodwork. So. This is exciting. But the positive side when it comes to ancestral work is that family dynamics are really up in the air. And it, when I say up in the air, it comes more like things are going to come. You're going to feel maybe more pulled to reconnect with family or more pulled to really dig into healing in relationship to family. And this is a great time, a great opportunity to act upon that healing, act upon that calling of yours, because working in this realm of things for the next like 2 months or so can really bring long-term personal change for you, especially when it comes to how you're attracting abundance in your life.
Wow, that's interesting.
And I know for me it hit a little earlier and I knew it would because you know I like to look at myself, especially early in the year, and kind of prep myself for the energy of the year to know how I kind of work. And Tierra and I both do that, you know, me on more of the energy, past life slash ancestral. Tierra does a lot more of the numerology and dream interpretation work, but we kind of come together to look at ourselves individually and then as a team. And I know Chase, we exchange services beginning of the year every year. When we look, you do our astrology, we do like your energy, numerology stuff. So we kind of combine a lot of that to see how the year will be for us and to better place you, events that we're going to have and to take time out for ourselves, personal time. And this month of July came for me to be a month where June and July came to be months of where I had to dig back into a lot of ancestral work and I had to step back from the front line as much and just kind of come inside, do some intro work and also do like back end development when it comes to my education and to the business and stuff. And that I wasn't really supposed to come up and show too much face until August for different reasons. And right now I'm actually back in Ohio where my family lives because there was a pull for me to come back and be a little closer to family. And it's been almost 10 years since I've spent more than a few weeks with family. So I'm here for 2 months really like swallowing all of my pride, all of everything to be here because I know I need to be here for right now on my journey.
Wow. Soaking it up.
Oh my gosh, it's been so like we have to do another episode or something about some of the cray cray stuff that's been going on. But I'm telling you, I walked in this house and it was like all my ancestors coming at once. I was like, oh, okay, hey y'all. Like, hey. I have unlocked and learned so much family history. And my language isn't written, so none of our history is like written or passed on that way. So I've learned a lot because I saw it or because they came and showed it to me. And even some people I thought were certain people in my life, I come to learn that they're completely different people than I thought. And not even just like who they are as a person, but you know, some people that I thought maybe were my cousins or grandparents were actually ended up being, you know, not that. It's so interesting the amount of secrets or the amount of information that was never really told that I've unlocked through digging in my own healing journey. And it's a good thing. And I understand why, you know, because we have to watch our words. And I understand why in my tradition, it's you reframe the verbiage of stuff to better suit the energy. Because sometimes, like we all know it, sometimes somebody who you call a friend isn't really a friend, but you keep holding that energy of a friend to them and you disappoint yourself. So sometimes you changing that verbiage around it changes your own personal expectations or your own views on it. So I've learned a lot. I've learned a whole lot about my family, and I'm definitely going to write about some of it that I can share. Other parts of it, I would definitely just process and keep inside and go from there.
Wow. So I like what you were talking about, is being able to reframe the way that you look at a relationship.
Yes.
And I think that's super important when we're trying to work on how to navigate our life in a smooth and compassionate way.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you say that, what's the best way for someone to work on their ancestral healing if they have never done it before, or if they don't know how? Yeah, what would you say about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say it just starts with you, because sometimes we try to look too far in the future or too far in the past that we're not able to look at the present. So it's about being more present with yourself. So starting off.
Good answer. Look in the mirror, boo.
No, but for real, though. And it's just starting off. How I really started off was I started journaling a lot more. And I know that sounds real cliche, but for real, what I really did was look at what triggered me, in the sense of when I was happy, what was it that I made made me happy? I would write down the emotion, and I would like kind of put like, oh, you know, was in the sea of sunflowers that, or what made me upset, what made me frustrated, all these different emotions. I started writing down, and I even put down the time of day I was feeling it. And a lot of it came as voice memos on my phone, little notes on my phone. But I started doing that, and I started like relating more of my day-to-day to verbiage. And because my English vocabulary is not always the best, even though I grew up speaking a lot of English, English is not a descriptive language, yo. Like, it's so 9-to-5 conversational. Like, I don't like that.
Wow.
So I could just say like happy, sad, angry, this, that, and the third. But I was like, maybe stop. I could describe stuff in my native language, which helped, which was really good. But I also wanted to be able to communicate it in English. So I started digging into words that really described what I meant. Like, happy is not necessarily the same as enthused. It's not necessarily the same as nostalgic. Like, all of that stuff is very different. So I started really identifying more of the emotion that I was actually feeling. And then the why was always the biggest question. Because sometimes I would go inside, but I'm like, I have no idea why that made me frustrated. And then just really being more aware of that and digging into that made me start digging into myself deeper, which made me start looking at my relationship with people and with space in general. Because most people probably don't know, but Tierra and I, who are the Light Sisters, we travel around the world. We're basically nomads. And what we've done was really get very comfortable becoming uncomfortable. So we took away a lot of the comforts in our day-to-day, like the car, the home, all of that stuff. We lived out of a backpack. We've been living out of a backpack or two for the past year plus now. And taking a lot of those comforts out made me recognize, like, what I actually needed or what I actually wanted, and separate and like kind of redefined my own self, my own emotions in general. And I think that right there helped a lot. I'm not saying you have to like pack up and leave. I'm not saying you have to do that. I mean, you can if you want. But what I'm saying is that you really need to learn to look at yourself for who you are, because a lot of times you look at yourself through the eyes of others, and especially your family, as much as you try to run away from them, or as much as you try to act like you don't, look at ourselves through the eyes of our family a lot. So kind of setting that boundary of who are you through your own eyes and who are you through other people's eyes is a big thing.
Yeah, I really like that you said that, because it's like you can't be appeasing your ancestral way if you don't even have like a firm, grounded sense of self.
100%.
And I do like the just the simplicity of paying attention, mm-hmm. right? And so it's like, if you have a particular feeling, or if you have a fear or a resentment that comes up, also knowing somatically, like, where does it show up in your body?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in your stomach? You know, is it a twinge in your left eye when you're really upset? Mm-hmm. And kind of like, yeah, peering and digging more into those feelings and constantly digging into why and then further why and yep. getting more specific with the language. And it's not that I'm just mad. It's that I have a sense of rage and it comes from a sense of fear of insecurity.
Yes.
Or a fear of not having enough, right?
Exactly.
Like, so it's like, then you refine the language around what it is that you're really feeling. And I think that truly is the path of insight, and that's truly the path of healing. And then the more good you get at it, I think that becomes that you can start tapping into the root, which is the ancestral weight.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, you said that really well, Chase. And I just even like the fact that we're just talking about ancestral weight in general. And I know for sure, I like to call it weight versus trauma, because again, I'm really big on the verbiage. Like, using that language is very crucial. Trauma has such a negative connotation to it. And when trauma, that word comes up, it almost comes like you can't heal from it.
And it re-traumatizes.
It really does.
It really
does. It really does. And we don't want none of that. Part of healing is that's not what we do. That's not what we want to do. Now, if you need to be re-traumatizing your journey or so, that can happen, but you don't want to call that in for yourself. So I take away that whole trauma thing. And that is, I'm actually writing a blog about that, which we released out probably later this week, about the whole ancestral healing and why I really don't use the word trauma in that. Because I know the terms like intergenerational trauma and things of that sort are used a lot. And I don't like to do that. Weight, for me, it's one of those things that weight, you can lose it. You can get rid of it. You can add more if you want. Weight is something you have options as to what you want to do
right.
for it. So you can decide to carry it, or you can decide to put it down. Just like the dumbbells you pick up at the gym, anything of that sort. So when you change that verbiage around it, that right there is healing in its own. So I stopped looking at my life as so traumatic, and I stopped calling it, you know, I suffered this trauma, or I have this ancestral trauma, this, that, and the third. I was bumped at, and I started calling it weight, because I couldn't be like, you know, I couldn't say what it wasn't. I couldn't act like it was what it wasn't. That's true. So I used a term that made it real and made it a choice to be able to heal through.
Right. I love the choice element. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because trauma doesn't have a past tense when you say it that way.
Yeah.
So it's like within the sense of self or within the conscious mind, it could just be this element that is existing. It's not in the past. And so, yeah, I don't know. The ancestral weight thing, it suggests that there's a memory. It suggests that there's some type of resonance, or there's some kind of like icky thing that we need to shake off.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, I love that.
It's for sure. And then with the weight, you know, there's weight is sexy too. Let's not get it twisted, because our ancestry holds so much wisdom. It holds so much blessings. And just, I can't even describe right now, just in a few words, how many beautiful things come out of different ancestries. When we look today, we see people from certain areas of the world tend to be gifted at a specific thing, and that's beautiful. So we have to realize the amount of power, the amount of beauty, the amount of wisdom we hold in our ancestry, and you're able to access that just easily as you're able to heal from whatever weight that could be holding you down.
Word.
Yo, this is so lit. Oh my gosh.
It really is. So
yeah.
Good.
I think we should talk a little bit more about the movement. Tell people about the Healers of Color movement that's going on, about an upcoming conference in the San Francisco Bay Area, August 25th and 26th.
Yeah. So we are creating a formal dialogue around being a person of color and also identifying as a healer and focusing on ancestral weight. Saturday is going to be a talk where we just get together and bring up questions within the community and just really connect with one another. I feel like we don't have spaces for this type of dialogue. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, me and you have had these dialogues between ourselves, but it's like, I feel like with the amount of people that we can get together and just like the vibe of having other practitioners all sharing stories and connecting, it can be so great. And yeah. Then on Sunday, we're going to be doing a sunrise healing hike, and it's also going to be a really powerful full moon. The astrology of the weekend is so good. Yeah, we're going to be doing a healing hike in Oakland at Girls Camp. And then the entire day, we're going to be doing a Skillshare where we take care of each other. We offer services, teach workshops, and cultivate.
Yeah, for sure. And this is anyone who identifies as a healer of color. And it is, you don't have to be acupuncturist or this or that. You can be whatever you are. And as long as you serve others and you identify as a healer and you're a person of color, that is all it is. We just invite everyone to come and welcome you all into this space, the space for us to heal. We're really going to tap into a lot of those issues we face from just the overly competitive vibes that we maybe have with one another, or from the lack of support that we sometimes feel in our communities. We're going to touch into that. We're going to really work on the resources behind and talk about, there's so many great things we have coming up that we definitely will release out, and we'll definitely wait until the weekend for that. But even if you're at a distance, we do have webinar on Saturday that you're able to join us via webinar. So check out our website, www.healersofcolormovement.com. And then personally, you can check us out on Instagram. My handle is @LightSisters. This is for Tierra and I, who are the Light Sisters. It's Light Sisters with a Z at the end. And then Chase, yours is @EarlyBirdAstrology.
Yep.
And check us out. Follow us. Follow the movement. We would love to hear any more questions, any more feedback y'all have about topics you want us to talk about. The other members of the Healers of Color team, Chase and I are just 2 of 5. So we'll continue releasing out podcasts. We're so excited. Thank y'all for listening. The Healers from the Trap podcast is brought to you by the organizers of the Healers of Color movement. Join us in the conversation and in upcoming events. Check us out at www.healersofcolormovement.com. See you next time.